Will you turn with me to the Gospel of Luke? Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. I'd like to talk tonight about some suppers. There are several suppers mentioned in the Scripture, and we're starting with the Great Supper. Luke chapter 14, verse 16. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many. He sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed, the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. This is called the Great Supper. It's the blessed Lord Jesus Christ that announces the subject, and he tells about it. And I wonder why it's a great supper. I believe it's a great supper because it's a great God that has provided it. This is how we gauge a feast or a supper. It depends upon the one that provides it. If a king provided a feast for us, we would certainly call it a great feast. Well, in this case, it's God that's provided the supper. And that's why it's a great supper. Did you ever think about that? That this supper is a great supper because God has provided it? Did it ever dawn upon you that God has provided something in His greatness, in His great love for this poor world? Now, why did the Lord give them this account? He says, a certain man made a great supper. That would indicate that there actually was such a case, that there was a certain man that did this very thing. And the Lord uses it to illustrate something. And He's illustrating salvation, the greatness of salvation that God has provided for man. But this is introduced by the word then. Then said he unto him. Now there must be something that came before to cause the Lord to speak of this. Well, the previous verse says, And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. When is the kingdom of God coming? After the feast. After the feast. The feast comes first. The feast is now. And you can partake of this supper right now, tonight, right there in your seat where you're sitting. And this supper is none other but the salvation provided by God in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the supper of salvation. We read about Simeon when he held the blessed Lord in his arms when he was just a babe. He said, Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. There he was holding that babe in his arms, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, who had come from heaven's glory, the Son of God, and he became a man. And there he was in Simeon's arms. And Simeon says, I see thy salvation. God, I see thy salvation. Have you seen that? Have you seen in the Lord Jesus Christ God's salvation for you? He's provided a great salvation for you. It's called here a great supper. If you would only take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and feast upon him, you would find out that he's a great supper. Oh, there's so much in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll explore all that's in the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity. He is so great and so wonderful. You'll never lack for anything in the glory for all eternity when you have Christ as your Savior. Now it tells us here that this certain man that made a great supper bade many. He sent out the invitation. And he said, come. He sent the servant out at supper time to bid them to come. Did they come? Well, I suppose some came, but we have the record here that some didn't come. They made excuse. Are you making excuses tonight for not receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Think of the Lord Jesus coming down into this world, born as a babe at Bethlehem, laid in the manger, growing up to boyhood, and always doing those things that please the Father. There never was a more obedient child, a more obedient boy, a more obedient teenager than the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a person he was walking through this scene, always obedient to God his Father. Have you ever thought about that? What a wonderful boy he was. What a wonderful person he was. Because he was God and man. Wouldn't you like to be occupied with him? Wouldn't you like to have him as your Savior? Wouldn't you like to have him as your friend, your companion, daily companion? Wouldn't you like to look forward to being with him for all eternity? Oh, you say, oh no, I wouldn't like to be in the presence of God. Why is that? Ah, there's something there in your heart that hinders you. You have a bad conscience about those sins you've been doing. And they're still there. They haven't been washed away. You're still guilty before God. And that's why you say, oh, I wouldn't like to get into the presence of God. There was one who said of old, when he realized he was in the presence of God, he said, this is a dreadful place. Perhaps that's the way you feel. It would be a dreadful place to be in the presence of God. But do you realize that God has provided for you so that you could have all of your sins washed away and all of your guilt taken away so that you would have no guilt before God and God wouldn't see any sin in your heart, that you'd be cleansed perfectly? Do you realize that? Oh, it's possible because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. And that means that the guilt of it is taken away too. And once you take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God never charges you with the guilt of sin anymore. Isn't that marvelous? To be free of guilt before God, not to have a guilty conscience anymore, to have the conscience purged. And there's only one way that your conscience can be purged, and that's by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and believing that the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was shed at Calvary to take care of your sins. Wouldn't you like to know your sins forgiven tonight? It's possible. Yes, we have forgiveness of sins through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the forgiveness of sins. Not shall have, we have it right now. As soon as you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as your Savior, you have the forgiveness of your sins. Wouldn't it be nice to have all of that taken care of, all of those sins forgiven? Don't they come up before you? Don't you see them? Of course you do. And you can't think of them all. You don't know them all. You've forgotten many of them. But God hasn't forgotten them. They're still before God. They're still an offense before God. And until you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and take him as your Savior, they'll always be there. And what an awful thing it would be to die without Christ. Die in your sins and die without Christ and have those sins before you for all eternity and the guilt of them too. Have a sense of that guilt forever. tonight, by simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, just simply telling Him, I know You died for me, Your precious blood was shed to wash away my sins, I take You as my Savior, because He has said, as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on His name. Wouldn't you like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight? If you do, you'll find that you have never had any feast like it. What a feast it is to have the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Oh, what a burden rolled away that afternoon that I took the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I got the sense in my soul that my sins were all gone and the guilt was all gone. I was forgiven and I had eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have never attended any supper or any feast that could compare to that. That was a feast for my soul. It'll be a feast for your soul tonight. You boys, you girls, you don't know what it is to eat a wonderful supper until you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself said, He that eateth me shall live by me. You'll really live when you take Christ as your Savior. Eating the Lord Jesus Christ, feasting upon His death, means that you receive Him as your Savior. You take Him, and He comes into your heart. He says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Yes, He will come in if you open the door to Him. Have you ever opened the door of your heart to the Lord Jesus? Have you ever taken Him? Well, if you haven't, now is the opportunity. A brother was praying in the prayer meeting tonight, and in his prayer he mentioned about this might be the last opportunity, the last chance. Like in the days of Noah, there came the last opportunity, the last call to go into the ark. And the door was shut. There came the last opportunity for the virgins to go in. But five of them didn't go in. And the door was shut. Ah, there comes a time when the door of salvation, the door of grace, the door of mercy, shut. And it won't open again for you. But it's open now, and the Lord might come before this meeting is over. And if the Lord came now and took His own to be with Himself, the door would be shut, the door of mercy. Now is the chance. Now is the opportunity. And oh, you ought to think about that God has given you many opportunities to enter through the door of salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The door stands wide open, and there's the opportunity for you to enter in. Will you come in tonight? Here's this invitation. Come, for all things are now ready. We can't really comprehend all that's included in that statement. All things are ready. But we do know this, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That tells us that all things are ready. God has done everything that He could possibly do for your salvation. There was no hope without the coming of Christ. There was no hope without the death of Christ. During this season, they've been talking about the birth of Christ, singing about the birth of Christ. Well, that's all lovely. That's all very well. But so many forget about the death of Christ. What good would it have been if the Lord Jesus had come into this world and gone right back to heaven without dying? We would have been left in our sins. But the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross, and they nailed Him there. And Peter said He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. And oh, what anguish, what sorrow, what pain What bitterness of soul he went through hanging there on Calvary's cross, because it was not only the nails in his hands and his feet, nor it was not only the lashings on his back and the thorns on his brow. Those were the physical sufferings. But ah, there was something else that caused his suffering. The load of our sins laid upon him. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord, that is Jehovah, laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And oh, what a load that was for the blessed Lord to bear. And it crushed him down, and he laid down his life. And he cried out just before he laid down his life, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did God forsake him? Because our sins were laid upon him. And God saw him as a sin offering. That just one was made sin for us, the unjust, that we might be brought to God. You boys and girls, young people, others, tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ has suffered infinitely more than we can comprehend or understand or take in. And his suffering at Calvary was such a tremendous thing that we'll praise and thank him, meditate upon it for all eternity. That's how great it is. That's how tremendous it is. That's how wonderful it is. It's an infinite thing. It's beyond human thought. And tonight, you have come here, and perhaps you have never given it a serious thought. Oh, that you might give it a serious thought tonight and come, for all things are now ready. The sin question has been settled as far as God is concerned, because the Lord Jesus Christ has died for sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ has taken the penalty for sin, the judgment for sin at Calvary. As far as God is concerned, the sin question has been settled. Do you believe it? Do you believe it has been settled? Take it for yourself. Believe it for yourself that the sin question has been settled. And tell the Lord Jesus Christ that you accept him as your own personal Savior. That will be partaking of the Great Supper. That will be taking this feast that God has provided. But we notice that there were those that made excuses. Now, it was all right to have a piece of ground. There wasn't anything wrong with that. It was all right to have some yoke of oxen. Nothing wrong with that. And certainly there wasn't anything wrong with having a wife. Well, what was the matter with all of this? Well, these different ones were allowing these different things of earth to come in between them and going to this great supper. They were allowing these things to hinder them from answering the invitation to come. What are you allowing to hinder you from answering the invitation to come tonight? You see how frivolous these excuses are? And your excuses are frivolous too. You've been putting it off. Some of you have been hearing the gospel time after time. You've heard the gospel invitation. Perhaps you've even heard the Spirit of God speaking to you. You've heard that still small voice there in your breath. And you've been putting it off. You've had some kind of an excuse. How long are you going to offer these excuses to God? Well, you'll do it once too often. What happened to these? Ah, they were left out. They didn't come to the supper. They didn't partake of the supper. And if you offer excuses, you'll be left out too. And you'll be left behind when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. But it says here that the servant came and showed his Lord these things, and the master of the house was angry. That speaks of the judgment of God that will fall upon those who make excuses and do not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But the Lord also said, he that believeth not The wrath of God abideth on him. The wrath of God abides on the one that doesn't believe. And if you don't have Christ as your Savior tonight, the wrath of God is hanging over you, ready to fall upon you. And it will fall if you never take Christ as Savior. Conditions in the world are getting worse. It used to be that you would have bad conditions in certain localities in the world, and perhaps it would be more or less confined to one country. But it's gotten to the place now where the trouble is worldwide. The whole world is affected by all of this trouble, economic difficulties and problems. I believe it's an indication that the Lord is coming soon. He's right at the door. And he's right there. And the door will soon be shut. Answer the invitation and come now. Come now to Jesus. Open your heart to the Lord Jesus. Let him come in. Take him as the one who died for your sins. So the order goes out to bring in the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. Isn't it a wonderful thing that that's what God is doing? He's bringing in all of these different ones, the poor sinners, the maimed, the halt, and the blind, the crippled ones. Ah, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All are crippled spiritually. All are maimed spiritually. All are poor spiritually. Halting and blind. Blind sinners. But those are the very ones that God wants to save. The Lord said he didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He came to call sinners to repentance. If you think you're all right tonight, you don't need salvation, you're outside. You're outside the door. You're on your way to a lost eternity. And so the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Isn't that wonderful? Yet there is room. That's what we were singing. Yet there is room. The Father's house is a large one, and there's plenty of room there. Wouldn't you like to get into that house, the Father's house, and help fill it up? And oh, what a happy place that will be for all of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Come now to Jesus. Just open your heart to him. Let him come in, and what a feast you'll have. And the servant says again, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. I believe that's why we're having this gospel meeting tonight. Dear friends, young people, children, God, by his Spirit, is speaking to you tonight, and he is actually doing, as it says here, compelling you to come in. Oh, he's putting the pressure on you to come in, to confess Jesus as Lord. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's what God wants you to do. That's what the Spirit of God is pressing you to do. Confess Jesus as Lord. Take him as your own personal Savior. Own him as Lord of your life. There is no salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, dear ones, tonight, don't put it off any longer. Don't make any more excuses. Come to Jesus now. And then he makes this solemn statement. He says, none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. None of those that were bidden shall taste of my supper. Well, he's referring to those first ones that were bidden. They made excuses. No supper for them. If you don't take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, there'll be no supper for you. Oh, perhaps you say, I enjoy the pleasures of the world. I'm having my pleasures. I'm having my feasts. Ah, you don't know what it is to have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't know what it is to be free from the burden of sin. You don't know what it is to have your sins forgiven and to have eternal life. You don't know what it is to be free from that guilt, to have a purged conscience, a clear conscience before God. Oh, that's worth everything. What a supper it is to feed upon Christ. You begin to feed upon Him, and you can feed on Him for the rest of your life. Think of Samson. When he took the honey out of that, the carcass of that dead lion, he took of that honey and he went on eating. You can feast upon the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and go on feasting on that death for the rest of your life. And that brings me to the next supper, which is the supper of remembrance, the Lord's Supper. Shall we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11? Verse 23, For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. That's what the supper of remembrance is for, the Lord's Supper. And if you partake of this first supper, the supper of salvation, you really have accepted Christ as your Savior and believe that His precious blood was shed for you and can cleanse your sins away, you have title to eat this supper. You're in line to eat this supper. And you, if you have really tasted of the death of Christ and rejoice in that He died for you, you can go on feasting on that death. Because this is what it says here, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. You can be thinking about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and thanking Him day after day. Not just on Lord's Day, on the first day of the week when we come together to remember the Lord, but you can thank Him every day. And there might be somebody here in this room tonight that is passing as a Christian, but have you ever thanked the Lord Jesus for dying for your sins? Have you ever thanked Him for going to the cross that His precious blood might be shed, that you might have your sins forgiven? Have you thanked Him? Or do you just go pass as a Christian and you know nothing about the death of Christ and feeding upon that precious salvation that God has provided for you? What a privilege it is to remember the Lord. We remember the Lord because He's worthy to be remembered. Look at what He's done for us. You say, oh, that's a very simple thing. There really isn't anything to it, is there? Once you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and you've tasted of His death and it really means something to you, you'll say, well, it really means something to me to remember the Lord, to partake of the loaf and partake of the cup in remembrance of Him. It really means something. I wonder sometimes why it is that there are those who profess to be Christians, but they never take their place at the Lord's table to remember the Lord. He must not be very precious to them. But all of you take Christ as your Savior. You trust in that precious blood that cleanses from all sin. And you get relieved of that awful burden of guilt on your soul. You will want to remember Him. You can't keep from doing it. You want to. You want to praise and thank Him for what He's done for you. But oh, how solemn to think that if you do not take the great supper of salvation, there's no place for you at the Lord's table to partake of the supper of remembrance. And it's really a solemn thing to be excluded from that table, the Lord's table. Oh, I'm so thankful for the privilege of being at the Lord's table to remember Him, to declare His death, to think of His death, His sufferings for me. What a privilege it is. You see how that when you first begin to partake of that supper by accepting Christ as Savior, the joy continues on all the way along, all the way through life. You can have a feast all the way through this world and then go on to glory, and the feast continues for all eternity. Oh, I trust that tonight someone will take the supper of salvation so that they might be fit to be at the Lord's table to partake of the supper of remembrance. Now shall we look at another supper. There's still another supper mentioned over in the book of Revelation, chapter 9:19. Revelation 19 and verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And He saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And John says, I fell at His feet to worship Him. But it was the angel speaking. And he said, see thou do it not, I'm thy fellow servant. But all worship filled the heart of John, and he would even fall down before the angel to think of this supper of rejoicing. Are you going to be there? If you take the supper of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, take Him as your own, then you'll be in line to be at this supper, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you'll have a special place there too, because when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're washed from your sin, then the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in your heart and you're made part of the church, the body of Christ. And the church, the body of Christ, is going to have a special place there in the glory around the Lord Jesus Christ. Other saints will be there from other ages. Other children of God will be there from other dispensations. But if you take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight, you will become part of the church, and you will have a place of special nearness to the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you don't take Christ as your Savior, you're going to miss it all. It's not only what you're facing in the way of judgment if you don't take Christ as Savior, but it's also what you're going to miss if you don't take Christ as your Savior. To miss heaven, to miss being in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, to miss the marriage supper of the Lamb, to miss that time of rejoicing around the blessed Lord, which will last for all eternity, is indeed to miss something tremendous. And those who will find themselves in the lake of fire, they will be remembering this for all eternity. Because we read of the rich man who died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And he cried to Father Abraham for a cup of water, or a drop of water to cool his tongue. And what was he told? He says, son, remember, you in your lifetime had your good things. You'll remember there in that lake of fire how solemn. You missed the great supper by not taking Christ as Savior. You missed the supper of rejoicing, you miss everything. And you'll find yourself in the place of torment. Oh, take Christ tonight. I plead with you. Take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight, boys and girls. Don't put it off any longer. Don't take chances with your soul. Jesus is coming soon. And life is short. We hear of children taken when they're young. How about you? You may be taken too. You never know. Just think of that young lady, just 17, suddenly taken out of this scene. Ah, but for her it was all right. She had confessed the Lord Jesus. And she had taken her place at the Lord's table and was eating the Lord's Supper. For anyone who's accepted Christ and has been washed in the precious blood of Christ, there's no worry. There's no concern. We're ready. If the Lord comes now, or if we're taken by death, it doesn't matter. We go right home to glory, because the Apostle Paul says that to depart is to be with Christ, which is far better. Oh, what a thing it will be to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in glory. At that feast of rejoicing, that supper of joy, it says, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Will you be among the blessed ones? Happy is what that word really means, blessed. Happy are they which are called unto the marriage supper of Lamb. All of those who will be around the Lord Jesus Christ there feasting upon Him at the marriage supper of the Lamb, they'll be happy, truly happy. Are you looking for happiness? Maybe you're trying to find it in the things of earth. You'll never find it there. Perhaps you think you'll find it in a job. Or you'll find it at school. Or you'll find it in money. Or you'll find it in investments and property. You can't find happiness down here, real happiness. Those are happy who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Those are happy who are on their way to glory. And they're going to be around the Lord Jesus Christ there. But if you don't take Christ as your Savior, there's another supper awaiting you. And you find it in this same chapter of Revelation. Revelation chapter 19. We read right after the marriage supper of the Lamb that the Lord Jesus Christ comes out of an open heaven, and we find that the saints are with Him there. There's a great army with Him that have been washed in the precious blood of Christ, because they're clothed in fine linen, which is the righteousness of saints. And there they are, with the Lord Jesus Christ, coming out of heaven. They've already gone there, and they're with the Lord Jesus. They're coming out of heaven. What are they coming out of heaven for? Because there's a day of judgment coming for the nations of this world. The nations really are in a confused state. In Scripture we find that the seas are symbolic of the nations, with the waves roaring. And that's the condition of the nations now. And it's a seething mass of humanity. There's a confused state. The sea is greatly agitated. And Isaiah says, the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. And that's what we see among the nations. And there's more opposition to God everywhere in this world. There's opposition to God in this country. And that's why we're getting into confusion more and more. As people give up God and they'll have nothing to do with God, the more confused they'll become. And conditions are not going to get better. They're going to get worse. And your only hope is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The only way you're going to escape the judgment that's coming upon the nations is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, so that when the Lord comes to take His own to be with Him in heaven, you'll be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And you'll be taken away from this whole scene where the judgment is going to fall when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. John says in verse 17, I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. Here's another supper, the supper of the great God, the supper of judgment. What a supper this is. But who's eating the supper? All of these fowls in the midst of heaven that are called to come and gather themselves together. It tells us in the 19th verse, I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Just think of it. The nations of the world will dare to come together against the Lord Jesus Christ and the saints who are with him. And who's going to win that battle? Well, it tells us simply and plainly here that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to win that battle. And because we're going to be with him, we'll share in the victory. Wouldn't you like to be there to share in that victory with the Lord Jesus Christ? What a privilege that's going to be, to share in that victory, to share in that triumph. Old people go by the thousands to the games, the athletic games, one kind of it and another. And of course, there's usually one team that wins. And everybody is rejoicing that is on the side of that team. They share, as it were, in the victory, although they were not out on the field playing the game. The Lord Jesus Christ, at that time, when all of these are gathered together against him, he is the one that will get the victory over them. Because it says in verse 21, the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. The blessed Lord is the one who strikes them all down with the word of his mouth, the sword of his mouth. The solemn thing about this is that if you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ when the Lord comes to take his own to be with himself, you'll be left behind, and you may be among these that are slain here. What a solemn thing it is. Judgment is going to come on this whole earth. The Lord is going to clean it up because it has to be cleaned up before he reigns. Wouldn't you like to stand before God in Christ with your sins all washed away in the precious blood of Christ, justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Wouldn't you like to stand that way before God? Wouldn't you like to be sure that everything is settled and you're right with God? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way to get peace with God than through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and died for us at Calvary and took the judgment for our sins there. But who's feasting here? Who's partaking of the supper? All of these birds that are called together. What a slaughter there's going to be. Millions of souls lying around. Millions of bodies, dead bodies, lying around. And it'll take all of this host of heaven, the birds, to clean it up. Do you enjoy the thought of lying out there in that battlefield and having your flesh eaten by birds? You like that, the thought of that kind of a feast? How God can paint the picture to horrify us, to terrify us. Oh, you say, preacher, you shouldn't terrify us. But God has put this in his word. It's here. It's a judgment that's to come. It's the supper of the great God. It's a supper of judgment. And oh, I beg you, don't take the chance of being at that supper, because you'll be a dead carcass lying there on the ground. And what will be the next? The judgment at the great white throne. Because all those who've died in their sins, they must come up and stand before the Lord Jesus Christ on that throne in their sins. be judged in their sins and be cast into the lake of fire in their sins. Oh, what a solemn thing. Is that what you're waiting for? If your mother made a nice feast for you, sometimes the children have parties, and mother fixes up a nice table, some goodies, and then there are other children that come, and you really have a nice time. You have a nice feast. You have the things that you like to eat. But if you invited some of your young friends to come and share the party with you, to eat with you, and then they made some excuse that they couldn't come, how would you feel about it? And if they made it known to you that they really didn't want to come, they didn't care about it, how would you feel about it? And what if after your mother had made all of this preparation for you and put all the good things on the table and said to you, all right now, Johnny, Susie, come, and we're going to sit down and enjoy what's on the table. And you said, no, I don't want anything. I'm not ready now. I'm going somewhere else. I got something else to do. How would your mother feel about it? How does God feel about it when you hesitate to accept Christ as your Savior? How does God feel when you say, no, I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready to confess the Lord Jesus yet. I want to wait a while. How does that make God feel? Oh, it makes him feel sad. God has made great provision for you, and he wants you to enjoy it. Come to Jesus tonight. Accept him as your Savior, that you might enjoy what God has provided. Partake of the great supper of salvation. Then you'll have the privilege of being at the table of remembrance to remember the Lord, the supper of remembrance. And then you'll be in line to be at the great marriage supper of the Lamb, around the Lord Jesus Christ, having that happy time in the glory. And you'll escape the supper of judgment, and finally the great white throne judgment and the lake of fire. You'll escape all of that. But God says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How are you going to escape if you neglect the great supper of salvation? You can't escape. You will be there at the supper of judgment. You will be there at the great white throne of judgment. You'll be there in the lake of fire. How can you escape? There is no escape for the one who neglects the great salvation. Perhaps that's all you're doing, just neglecting it, not taking it seriously, just coming to gospel meeting after gospel meeting, and you do nothing about it. You'll do that once too many, and this may be the last opportunity to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus just now. Let's sing that song. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus just now, just now. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus just now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you just now, just now. Thank you just now. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him just now.